Great to see everybody here this evening. As always, I want to start off with a great announcement. And Brother Trevor texted me this afternoon, and Lakaya got saved, Leah's sister. And praise the Lord for that. Got saved right after junior church or during junior church or something like that. On the way home in the van. So praise the Lord for that. But I will say this, and I've picked them up before through the years, and I know Kaya's a handful. She's a handful. And I'm just thrilled because Aaliyah's been faithful. She made a decision to commit her life to the Lord, and now it's affected her sister. And so praise the Lord for that. And appreciate Brother Trevor and Miss Brittany so faithfully picking up young people, bringing them to church. And so another young person getting saved into the family of God. What a blessing that is. So we're going to move things along today. That's why I'm kind of getting things started here. Letting Brother Bus get a break and sit by his wife tonight. We're looking forward to a great evening of reports from the different men in our church. You may go and be seated. Father, bless the service tonight. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Great to see Brother Wynn here this evening. You got church. You're going to still head over to your church by 6, right? So, and then Brother Koontz, you got to be at Algoa. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have our handshaking song right now. And then the youth choir is going to sing one. Miss Minnie's going to sing, and then I'm going to turn it over to Boss Man Koontz. Dr. Frederick Donald Koontz II will take over, and we'll have a great time here in the church planning report, and the men will give some testimonies, and then we'll close out with his message, and he's got to bounce and go to the prisons. So I love it. Busy church, busy ministry, thankful for that. So great to see everybody here this evening, and thank God the Holy Spirit's our comforter. Miss Patty came up and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know when I think of the comforter, I think of those big comforters that you wrap around yourselves to keep yourselves warm." And this is the time of the year where you like those blankets and quilts. And we have the quilting club, you know. Oh, I think they all left. I think there's like a group of ladies going down to some sorority thing this week. Let's pray for them, man. I told Paul that. I said, that's going to be a sorority house this week. That's going to be dangerous. So, oh, yes, visitors. Any first-time visitors here this evening? Want to miss any visitors? I didn't think I saw any. No, we had some this morning. We're thankful for that, as always. Great. All right. Nope, we're good ushers. What was I saying? Oh, the comforters. And my wife's like that. She wants those blankets. She cuddles up in those blankets, and she cracks up because I lay on top of the blankets, and she's under the covers all the time. And then when I'm laying on top of them, she can't pull them up over her head, and so we end up having a big old fight over the covers and stuff. She wants them on, I want them off, and anyway. So, but those comforters wrap around you, and the Holy Spirit, what a blessing He is. Amen. All right, let's have our handshaking song, and let's move on with the service. Great to see everybody here tonight. Who's happy to be here tonight? Yes, God is good, and it's warm outside. Praise the Lord.
Well, let's go ahead and stand and turn to page number 363. We'll sing a verse of Calvary, and then we'll fellowship a bit, and then come finish it up. 363, please, at Calvary.
Burning soul found liberty.
go ahead and go to the fourth verse. Here we go. Oh, the love that knew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. At Calvary, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul fell liberty. At Calvary. Amen.
Brother Bedwell, though, said when it comes to comforters, make sure you quilt while you're ahead. I didn't say it right, did I? Go ahead and say it. You need a quilt while you're ahead, yeah. That's good. Hey, Bedwell, if it makes you feel better, that's how much they laugh at me. Actually, they laugh at yours more than mine. Youth choir time.
Yes, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. And Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. And other friends can never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. Knowing you are everything I'll ever need.
Miss Minnie's going to come sing, and I'll say something about the Church Planting Conference, and we'll turn it over to them, and praise the Lord for that. Great job, youth choir. I love hearing youth choir sing. And they let me sing with them. When I sing with the adult choir, they give me dirty looks, but the youth choir, they don't mind it. They let me sing with them, amen. So, great job, young people. I love hearing y'all sing. Miss Minnie?
My heart is so proud, my mind is so unfocused. I see the things you do through me, as great things I have done. But now you gently break me, and lovingly take me, and mold me as my Father, and mold me as my Maker. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. At times I may feel weak and feel a bit discouraged, knowing that someone somewhere can do a better job. For who am I to serve you? I know I don't deserve you. And that's the part that burns in my heart and keeps me hanging on. I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace. You are so patient with me, Lord. As I walk with you, I'm learning what your grace really means. The price that I could never pay was paid at Calvary. So instead of trying to repay you, I'm learning to simply obey you by giving up my life to you. For all that you've given to me, I ask you, how many times will you pick me up when I keep on letting you down? And each time I will fall short of your glory, how far will forgiveness abound? And you answer, my child, I love you. And as long as you're seeking my face, you'll walk in the power of my daily sufficient grace.
Great great singing tonight. Great music. Appreciate it so much. Great choir specials this morning. Really do appreciate our choir. It's been a while. I don't remember how long ago it was, but I was reading something about America's glory days, what made America great. And, of course, you go back and you read about the War for Independence, the Revolutionary War, some call it. Now they're starting to call it more the War for Independence, and the battle, how we won that, and all the odds are stacked against us. But as America began to grow and prosper and boom and explode and become the, we call it a superpower, but can I just be honest and not change that for the church purposes? Let's just call it what it really is, the most blessed nation in history. God was good to America. That's because the people chose God. I came across a list one time that said the reason why America is great is because of the men, strong men leadership. Brother Buss and I are really burdened about that. One of our new Sunday school classes may be a class on men. And I'm going to call it the manual, emphasis M-A-N-U-A-L, manual or something like that, but kicking that around and praying about that. But they said every man in America had a few things that you could count on. They had a good banker, they had a good doctor, and they had a pastor. They said that's when America was great, when men had those three things. And I thought it was interesting that pastor made the list. And I thought, wow. I wonder how many men in America today, if you point blank ask them, do you have a pastor? It's God's intention, the local church, that everybody have a pastor. The pastor's just an under-shepherd. He's nobody special, but America needs pastors. And this church planning conference is a huge tool in making sure that in all the different cities and villages and small towns and big cities all across America, especially with things going on out west, that churches are popping up so that those communities can have a pastor. And boy, what a thrill it is to see this work going on. And this year, our church was able to give over $51,000. Wow. And I don't know if praise the Lord. Nicole, give the Lord a hand. That's praise the Lord. $5. And Brother Cooch, you have papers you're going to pass out? Or you already did? They're already out. Okay, the paperwork is out there. Again, we have no secrets in this church financially. Every red cent is accounted for. You can ask, you can know, whatever you want. And we got these papers we want to pass out. Great, they're going to be passing them out right now. And I'm just glad. And we have our dear friend, Brother Wynn. I tell you what, Brother Wynn is a blessing. He has broken the typical trend where, for some reason, independent Baptist churches are within 50 miles of each other. They can't get along. You can get along with everybody 50 miles away from you. But Brother Wynn and I are dear friends. He's a friend of our church. Our church is a friend of his church. And he's been nothing but a blessing to me. We talk regularly, and I love this man of God. He went with our men, and he's going to represent a little bit tonight. Pleasant Ridge got to be involved with it, and we're just so thankful for that. So this time, let's just be excited and blessed that our church got to be a part of something exciting, pushing forward. And by the way, it's not that the men need a pastor. When it's all said and done, the reason why those men need a pastor is so that the pastors can teach their families about Jesus, because that's what it's all about. So praise the Lord for that. So Brother Coons, the show is yours. Thank you so much for organizing this. Brother Street, I know, has been very involved with this. And you men, remember, you got about 60 to 90 seconds. If you go longer than that, the trap door broke today. So we have Jason Piper up with a dart, tranquilizing dart. It'll hit you gently on the neck. It'll feel like a mosquito sting. And then in 3 seconds, you'll keel over and we'll drag you off the platform. So great to see everybody here tonight. God is good.
What an honor. I get to cry first. This is what friends do to friends now. I've had Christian experience for 45 years. Some bad. Way too many good. God's been so good to me, my wife, my family. See, I don't know any of these men here. I was one of the rookies this trip. Brother Coons said, when they got up and presented their work, the Holy Spirit would tug on this sleeve. And I would get a sense that God wanted me to give that particular preacher, that preacher boy, something. And I spend other people's money. I wasn't crying for that reason. But God did that for us. God blessed in an unbelievable way, of all the Christian experiences I had, that was a special mercy. Two instances a lot of these guys were preacher boys, just graduated, some of them. And they got up, and some of the people knew them, some of the college students over there scattered. They knew them, and one got up and he spoke, and when it was time to give, a little girl back up there said, I'll give $5. So that's a blessing of God. And through the rest of the day, that service, another guy got up, and some of the people knew him, and they said, they went around, and a lady right over there said, I'll give $422. If you don't know what that means, ask somebody else. Thank you.
Greatest basketball team in the world. Is that what you want to hear? Okay. You guys, I'm telling you what. I love your pastor. He's a dear friend of mine, as he's already said, and I'm very thankful for him. I'll make it quick, even though a pastor, it's hard for him to do that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 14, it says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. All this giving that was given away at this church planning conference, this was my first time. As a matter of fact, I decided I was going Sunday night. I let him know that I was thinking about it. There were some things that came up in our church. We had some sickness, and I was like, ah. And I decided to go, and it changed my life. And we were able to support 17 different states from our church. For our first time, we were able to take $2,000, and it was exciting because I went before the men. I said, I've never been to this conference before. We got some extra in the missions. Can we give it away? And the guys were like, take $2,000. I was like, amen. And so I called him and I told him what we had. So I was praising the Lord. But somehow I spent $2,300. I don't know how that happened. I'll take that out of Brother Koontz. But anyways, three things I just want to highlight. One of the interesting thing is I was able to sign up three church planters to come share their work. And two of them will be doing our conference at the end of the year, our missions revival. But Scott Crabtree, wow. Melted my heart. And I'm very thankful. I'm going to have him come and speak at our church, but he wasn't one of the ones, but I will. But there's another guy by the name of Nilton Escalana. And Nilton Escalana, what grabbed my heart is that we live in a beautiful, we have a church, it's a beautiful building, and they've been in a tent for 2 years. And they were getting ready to have a new church building. They just needed about $10,000 more. And I felt just personally that I wanted to do something about that because we sit in a building just like you all. We have the same builder. His name is God, not Tim Klink. We both have beautiful buildings. And they're in a tent. And one of the things that caught my attention was that he mentioned that he was going to miss his tent. Can you imagine for 2 years straight, three services a week, having church in a tent? I just thought about that. My last one, we're good. All right, keep the darts away. Justin Ross, there's a reason why I did this one. I don't know what time of night it was when we were driving down there, but there's a turnpike that goes through Pryor and Claremore, Oklahoma. I was born in Pryor, and I was born again in Claremore. And Highway 20 splits that. And there was not an independent fundamental Baptist church in the town I grew up in. So I did not get the gospel to me until someone from out of Claremore, not even in Claremore, was in Tulsa, a place called Turley, told me about the gospel. But there is a church there now. And there's a gentleman by the name of Justin Ross. He's going to Nome, Alaska. I think the closest road is 400 and some 50 miles to even the closest road. And he's going off of that to plant Bible Baptist Church. It's a replant.
And I just thought, wow, I can support someone from a town where I got saved. And so it was a blessing. I'm very thankful for you all allowing me to go. I shared a little bit about your church to ours. And I'm just glad that we can be friends. And I'm glad that we're on the same team. And I know these guys want me to say something about it. But Brother Street, I want to thank you. I'm wearing the shirt tonight. I don't know if you noticed. We went in a store while we were there. And we were looking for suit coats. And the guy was right there. He says, "What size are you?" And he told me. And I was like, "Well, it's got to be Brother Street. It ain't me. I ain't fitting in that thing." But he drove home, come back. And he handed me the coats. I just handed them to Brother Street. And I said, "Take them to the guys." I said, "I want to talk to this guy." And I was able to share the plan of salvation with him. His brother died 3 days before that. And his name was Caden. And he was able to get saved that day in the parking lot. And I went to the Church Planters Conference to help out, but it helped me, and I needed it. Thank you all so much. It's because of you I was able to go, and I'm very thankful for that, and I love you all dearly.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I was so blessed to be in the presence of God, and I've seen the Holy Spirit fall so hard and swiftly through singing, people, and the generous giving. I'm just proud to be a part of Mountain Baptist Church. Amen. Because there is a mission out there that's unreal. A lot of people don't even understand this. For these guys to take their families and go to Nome, Alaska or Dearborn, Michigan, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Anybody don't has it gone, you should go. Because it'll bless your heart. I seen the Holy Spirit fall so hard. I was empty when I left, but my cup was full when I got home. Amen. And I thank you for letting me go to this conference. Thank you.
So I'm just going to do a real quick recap to give you the continuity from the start of it. In 2016, a missionary named Tyler Ryberg, you guys have heard of him, sent our church $3,000. We put a couple thousand with us, and we took $5,000 down, five men. And I can't see the numbers, but 17 states, 25 men in churches. Go ahead. 2017, 23 states, 40 men. We had $10,000. Another gift came. We put more money with it. And that's where we were. You can kind of see the stars showing up on there. That's the posture we had in 2017, 2018. Got 11 new states. We covered a total of 34 states, 51 men in churches, and $20,000. We went 5, 10, 20. Next. I was thinking, boy, it's going, if it keeps doubling, we're going to get poor pretty quick. Well, this year, in 2019, we got $24,000 and supported 29 states, 44 different men in churches is where we were on this, our third, 16, 17, 18, 19, our fourth year. 2020, 2 months before the pandemic hit. Go ahead. We had several new states. Now we hit 21 states, 37 men. We had a total of $32,000. That year, and then go ahead next year. In 2021, there wasn't a church planting conference. We've been going up every year, and we had run into, during the pandemic, we was growing, we needed new space, we was starting a building project, and so they didn't have one there. They did send out needs, and for the first time, we were able to give to everybody that was in the book. It was a total of 41 men, and we gave $40,000 last year. And what we found out when we went down there is we weren't the only church that were moved to do that. We had several men stand up and say that during a year where there wasn't one, they got checks from churches, ours being one of those. And then this is this year's report. You have specific names on there. We have this year, we went with less than we gave last year, and my heart was troubled. We'd given $40,000 last year, and Miss Kristen put a check for $36,000 in us to take down there. And the Lord very clearly says, That's what you got, trust me. And Brother Herb mentioned the power of the Holy Spirit. We watched what happened Tuesday night. Wednesday night at service, a man that we supported the very first year we went, our folks have been out there to Philadelphia. Brother Burton Gates got up and stood and preached on the power of God making all the difference in everything. And Wednesday night, we experienced that at the services, during the services, after the services. The next morning, way more money came in from the church, from others, from amongst our men that were there. We were able to give $51,200 as specified on the sheets. Every one of those sheets has an incredible story behind it. But every single person, both those that presented and those that didn't, got something from us based on the power of God this year. To date, we've given away $182,200 and been a part of seeing $3.8 million. They can talk infrastructure all they want to. This is the infrastructure that will rebuild the country.
I recommend going next year, as many men as possibly can make it. It's both an opportunity and the faithfulness of these men sitting behind me. We need churches in America bad, big time. And the time is now, as I speak, because of what's happening in our country, or what has been happening. Christians have kept their mouths shut long enough, and now it's time to rise up and fight back against Satan. And that's what these pastors have done. There's one gentleman who's learned Arabic. In fact, Brother Herb, Little Herb, spoke about him. He's going to Dearborn, Michigan to speak to Muslims. 50,000 of them. 50,000 in Dearborn as I'm standing behind this pulpit. Muslims. They've taken over Dearborn. I told my sister Mary Jane yesterday on the phone. She goes, I can't believe it. I said, that's a result of the past presidencies. You know it. I know it. A lack of not voting the correct way, a Christian way, the Bible way. And now we face, these pastors face, the ultimate fight. And they're willing to, and this gentleman is willing to learn Arabic, which touched my heart. I gave to him personally, and he touched my heart because his wife is learning Arabic. He has a family, just like we have families, and he's willing to reach. He said, Jesus died for the Muslim people also, so they also need to be reached. That's, as soon as he said that, that just basically turned me towards him like a flint. And I want to tell you, if, like I said, if you have the opportunity to go and you have the money, and $200 is not a whole lot of money these days. I mean, it was the first time I was able to take, I went in 2020, but this time I had my own money. And I even gave extra. And you know, I don't have a whole lot of money because of my disability. But I was able to go, and I plan on going next year as long as Jesus tarries. End of story.
Psalm 71:18 says, Now also when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not, O God, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power unto every generation. You know, we talk a lot in this church how blessed we are, how much God has blessed us with the youth he's given us, and rightly so. But could I just say that I am thankful for some old gray-headed men who still have a burden to see the message of the cross carried to a lost and dying world. And I just want to say, men, I love you. Thank you for a great week. Preacher, I love you. Brother Nolan Wynn is a good man. I thank God for him. And being the young pup with this group was entertaining. It was an entertaining dynamic. Nonetheless, I'm thrilled that I went. I went back and listened to Preacher's theme message that he preached the week before we left on continue in unity. And I can tell you there was never been a more timely message in my entire life, because I have never, ever, ever seen or been a part of anything that demonstrated more Christian unity than this event. To see dozens of churches, many of which 5 or 6 years ago were churches that needed support, dozens of churches stand all over an auditorium three times this size and pledge support, $8,000 to $40,000. And I've never seen anything like it. But you know, I believe that God's people are to be happy. And I never, in the 3 days, in the bathroom, in the hallway, after the sermon in a restaurant, heard negativity. I never heard someone say, well, that church planner, I don't know, I don't quite buy everything that he said. I never heard that. I never heard anybody saying anything about how, well, that message was good, but I think so-and-so should have preached that message. I never heard anything like that. And I'll tell you, continuing in unity is as important now as it ever has been. And I thank God for that. I want to quickly share a specific story the Lord touched on my heart. We met in our hotel a young church planner from El Paso, Texas, who went to El Paso, I think it was about 6 years ago. And he planted a church, and he teaches ninth grade world history at the public school in El Paso, Texas. And that means he gets to talk about the world religions to over 200 ninth graders and give the plan of salvation to over 200 ninth graders every year. And he's already led 4 of his students to the Lord. He's a chaplain of the football team. And I know there's a lot of folks in this room who don't understand, but the public schoolers are the majority in numbers. And if we don't reach them, we're in trouble. And I graduated public school in 2020. And 2 weeks before I left for this conference, I had one of my classmates pass away. Nobody knows why, either suicide or drug overdose. Now, I was there in sixth grade when he came to the Lord and he got baptized and he got saved. But I can't help but wonder if there would have been a Michael Neff in my school, how somebody could have got him and got him on the right path and he could be serving the Lord today. I can't help but wonder if there would have been a Michael Neff in my school who would have took me, his Christian friend, along and discipled me and taught me how to be his friend, what that could mean. We can change America with that kind of a model. So with that being said, I thank God for how he moved, and I'm about to get shot with a dart. So I'll just close and say this on a personal note. Most of you know I answered the call to preach when I was 15. There's been a lot of confusion in my life about that. God, do you want me to be bivocational? Do you want me to be a pastor? Do you want me to be a missionary, a church planner? Do you want me to preach in prisons and youth camps? I don't know. I know you want me to preach. And God answers prayers. And for the first time in 6 years, God spoke to my heart about how he would have me to be a preacher. And I thank God for that and for his providence. And I love you, BBC, and I can't wait to go back next year.
I want to make sure. I guess I'm the new rookie that came to this Bible conference and was really, really exciting and challenging. I know God has worked on my heart to go. At first, I didn't think I was going to make it this year. But several of these guys, I was grateful, and I'm just grateful to be with these guys. You know, God is working in my life at several churches before we moved here to Jefferson City. And I was thankful for that. And now, with the knowledge that we have learned, and now we bring it to you folks, and also to all the churches throughout the the nation that we could share, you know, the gospel, how important it is. I'm not really much on what to say today, and I'm sorry about that. But I know that God has worked on my heart to go to this conference and to learn what God wants us to do. I enjoyed meeting different pastors there and other gentlemen. It was just a feeling that God was present, and I was really thankful for that. I'm glad that this church was supporting us, that we went down there, and to bring you good news, what God has worked in our hearts as well as to our church. Again, I'm thankful, and I love these guys. They were really super. I don't know about in the evenings at the hotel, but they were quiet. You know, they weren't a bunch of party people. But I enjoyed being around with them. I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to next year, 2023. Thank you.
Well, like preacher says, it just gets gooder and gooder. You know, this is this started a while back, and it just keeps going and going. And thank the Lord. You know, me being a farmer, it's like every year I have to plant, and then I see a harvest, and then the plant dies. It's gone. I have to replant if I want another harvest. Church planting's not like that, brother. It's good. You're investing in eternity when you give this. I mean, we're doing the kingdom work there, and you could feel it. I mean, everybody had an excitement about them. Everybody was in unity. You know, these guys eat like horses. I mean, I don't understand. You know, we go, they go. I mean, the buffet that we went to was good, and then everybody kind of went back to the room, and we didn't see anybody for a while because they had to recuperate. That's why Golden Corral gets you, you know. But no, I can truly say that it was a blessed time, and I would invite any other men to go with us next year. Maybe some of our youth would like to go because, you know, you're never too young to start giving, you know. And to get the experience, I see some of the men that have went in the past, you know, and they know what I'm talking about. But if you've never been, then it's hard to describe, you know, the unity, the spirit, the kindness, the love, the fellowship that was shared, the camaraderie that's built with these guys. You know, we got to see a soul saved. I mean, it was just, you know, it was one thing after the other. You know, I got to see a church that you guys and a man that you guys invested in a couple years ago, which was my old pastor, Brother Larry Eaton. They were a new church. They just got started, and now they're sending out church planters from their church. Yeah. So it's just up the road about 11 miles from their church. They've got a new church plant going on. And he didn't get to present this time, but we were able to talk to him and find out some of his needs. So it was great. I mean, my time's probably up too. So I'm going to let Brother Don finish up with it. And I just want to thank everybody. It's an honor to go with these men back here.
Pastor has asked me to take just a few minutes and preach a short sermon on church planting, the practical aspect of how do you take this mandate that's given in the Bible and do something with it. And I think God's used our church greatly to do that. I'd invite you to turn to three, four different passages of Scripture. So we'll have a scriptural basis for this. Malachi chapter 3, please. Malachi chapter 3, the first mechanics of how this gets started. Last year, our theme was to give. This year, our theme is continuity, continuing unity. And I think Church Planting Conference just, to me, showed the perfect intersection and union of last year and this year's themes. To give, we did that. Our folks did that. And we gave outwards, and then we saw that happen. And then we saw the continuity The very people we gave to in 2016 were the givers this year. 2017 that got were givers this year. So Malachi chapter 3, teenagers, I read this before I heard it preached when I was 15 years old. This is kind of a starting point for a good life. Listen to this deal God makes you. Chapter 3, verse 10 of Malachi. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I had to ask what that meant. The storehouse is the church. The tithe is a tenth of what you make, your current earnings. You bring 10% of your current earnings into the church, and the church, through the government that God puts together here, makes spiritual decisions as the Holy Spirit of God tells us how, and we disseminate that money in ways that carry out the Great Commission. We'll be going over that budget very soon. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, and he says, if you'll do that, watch this. And when I was 15, I said, okay, I will. I have. I'm an old man now. And the watching this has been very, very exciting. Very exciting. Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, this is last year's theme, but tied to this year's theme. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet without, with all, it shall be measured to you again. Wow. Wow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Look at verse 8. And God is able. Amen. To make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. A lot of alls, a lot of abounding, lots of what's this? God is able. I'm not able. As I looked at this, God showed me several times, hey, buddy, you're not able. But watch this. Watch this. Finally, Acts chapter 1, and verse 8. What do you do with all this stuff that God tells you to do as you're obedient, as you listen to that whisper of the Holy Spirit of God? The Bible says, ye shall, but ye shall receive power. We got to see some of that. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he gives us a command. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Father, bless these next few minutes. Amen. So, we've started on a journey. We're together. None of us can do this on our own. We listen. God touches this person here, touches this person here, touches this person here. But we give as God commands, first the tenth, and then above that, as God commands. The first time God commanded me that, I was 26 years old, and he said, I want you to give. It was in foreign missions, the very first time I gave anything above the tithe, and it was $5 a week. God specifically said that. We specifically did that. And every year we'd say, what is it this year? And every year he'd tell us, often, separately without discussion, given Norman and I exactly the same number. And the numbers were pretty small. But we listened and we did. Don't be discouraged. God owns everything, can do whatever it is he wants to do. God is able. But if you just simply listen and do what it is he says, he'll say, watch this. He did not give me liberty to go beyond what he said. He gave me a specific number. I gave that, and it was less that we'd given him. My heart was broken because I wanted to see him do more. I wanted it real bad. He said, wait.
We waited till Wednesday night, and then when others had done something, God said, all right, then, go ahead. And he said that to many. So if you wait, if you're obedient, God will do what he wants to do. But he tells you in a specific order. He says, first in Jerusalem. How do we go first in Jerusalem? Young people, you're doing it. As Brother Bussey came with the gospel, the Show Me Gospel project, as everybody else was masking up and staying inside, you hit the streets, you sweating, you passing out tracts. You was doing that here. And then we needed, because people started to come, we need some classroom. And I wasn't even here, but it came down. And what are we doing to do it first in Jerusalem? Our Jerusalem is Jefferson City. It's Cole County, and we see it going up right over here. What are we going to see out of the investment in the work and the time that Brother Tim and others are doing over here? We're going to see stories like we heard about the fellow at the pawn shop that lost a brother 3 days ago and got eternal life on the day he brought his brother's suits to give away. We're going to see that over and over and over again, and those people are going to come, and they're going to meet the Lord. They're going to start to be obedient. They're going to start to give their $1 and $2. And God can do what he wants to do with who he wants to do it with, what he wants to do it with, any amount. Anyway, there's four choices in a bandage. You're either going to give, you're going to go, you're going to pray, and you're going to tell one way or the other, whether it's directly or indirectly, you're going to do one of those four things. First in Jerusalem. We're not done in Jerusalem. We won't be done in Jerusalem until the trumpet blows. The Bible says next, in Judea, right? Is that right? First in Jerusalem, in all Judea. What's Judea? Well, it's those counties that touch us. I think our Judea is our surrounding counties, and we're starting to work on that. And then it's the state of Missouri. We got to reach the state of Missouri. And with what we're doing here, we'll have it be postured in a way that we can do that. What happens as we're doing that and listen to God? I don't know what he's going to tell us to do. Got no way of knowing. All I know is when he says it, if he says it to you, talk to the pastor, talk to Brother Bussey, and let's do whatever it is he's told us to do, because that's the way that works. We'll reach Missouri. Right now, we have folks working on a database, so we'll know whether or not churches in Missouri. So as we get ready to plant churches in Missouri, perhaps they'll come here and they'll train here. And then the Bible says, after Judea, it says, and in Samaria. Samaria is a United States of America. And as of right now, we have church plants starting in 2016 in every state except Nevada, Utah, and Indiana are the only three states we haven't touched yet. We're praying for those three states. We're looking for those three states. We've given $182,000, but we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what's possible. And then, of course, under the other most parts of the earth, that's our foreign missions. We have missions conference starting the 1st of March. Our missions budget every year is a great deal better. We can look at church planting almost like our home missions. So we're doing the first three through home missions, primarily through the church planting conference. There's other ways, and then also through our missions conference. So one story, two stories. We met all these people. If you look on your sheets down through here, you'll notice that several are kind of grayed in over on the left. Those folks that are grayed in because they were unanimously voted on by our groups to say every one of us supported them and gave them something. As we look at the first one up there, out of that group of five, there's two that are deaf, Brother Casper and Brother Crabtree. We saw in a period of less than 10 minutes, those two men stand before Southwest Baptist Church. Both men, our church heavily supports, and we saw them get raised over $62,000 for deaf works in their places in less than 10 minutes. And I said, we got to be a part of that. Brother Crabtree came by our room, and we prayed for him, didn't we, Brother Herb? Amen. Looking on down through here, you'll see Michael Neff. You've already heard one of the men talked about him. And I'll just tell you the truth. There were two folks that got up from El Paso. The first guy got up, and he got $40,000. I'd already talked to this Mr. Neff, and my heart was broken because I said, God, why'd you give that much money to that guy? I wanted this other guy to get some money. I did. I said that in my heart. Isn't that terrible? And Brother Neff got up after that and got $2,000 more than that. We saw $82,000 go to El Paso in a period of, and I said, God, I'm such a wicked unbeliever. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Brother Peachy. Brother Peachy's on here, and he got up there, and he said, well, sure glad to see the folks from Jefferson City. Pointed up there, and he says, I can't tell you how much Nathan Clink has meant to our church and keeping it going. As he kept that together, as we took that church on at Brother Tim's issuance 2 years ago, and that was a very interesting thing. The very biggest check that went out from here in 2020 was to Athens, Ohio. It was to the church up there. Soon after that happened, Brother Nathan stayed, but that pastor said, I'm not the one supposed to be here. And he left.
And Brother Nathan has worked and worked and worked, taking the money we sent to him. This brother is there, and he's there now. And he said he wanted to thank us. And again, unanimously, $2,400 to Brother Peachy. Jake Guido. Guys, he's on here. Teenagers. You've heard several times us talking about Burton Gates. Jake Guido was a 16-year-old teenager. Goes to his daddy's church in Arkansas, of all places. He knocks on the door. There's a 31-year-old drunk dope addict there. He gives him a track and he invites him to church. A 16-year-old boy named Jake Guido. And that man came after several visits. The man's name is Burton Gates. He pastors two churches in Philadelphia. Our best asset is not the dollars we send down range. It's not just the choir. It's our young people and what they'll do. He's planting a church in Lafayette, Louisiana. Our church supported him. He's now a 31-year-old man himself, getting her done down in Lafayette, Indiana. Now the last guy I want to talk to you about is, I don't see his name on here. It's the top one, Justin Burkholder. We get a text from the very first person we supported years ago, Clint Minnick. He's out in the desert of 29 Palms, Colorado. He ministers to the Marines, and he turns over a church every year. And he was there for two or three years. We've supported him. WMBM supports him every year. He texted me and said, "Hey, brother, I got a friend that when Marines leave here, they often go up there to his base. You ought to take a look at him. I believe he's worthy of your support." I texted him. We talked to him. He came by and talked to the men. And we talked to him about how the Holy Spirit fell. Tyler Ryberg said, "We're going to let that man know we're going to support him for $500 a month." You guys understand that WMBM is a part of Bible Baptist Church, and all the monies that come in to WMBM goes to that account, and then that goes out. A whole bunch of what we gave away this year at the church planning conference came here from WMBM, and let us give it away as God showed us how. And I just wanted to let you know the way God showed us how on this guy was WMBM sending out $500 a month. And when that money came in, there was $8,000 that came in above and beyond that Wednesday night. And my thought was we'd give $3,000 and then $5,000 divided up and give it out. But one of the men said, "Brother, they came in for the military. We have a military ministry. It was recommended we give all of that towards that military ministry." We went to that man the next morning and said, "We know what we're going to give you. Do you want to know now or do you want to know later?" He said, "Oh, I'll just wait on God." The very last person that stood up at the conference was this man, Justin Burkholder. And they called on us to go last. And we got to stand, all of us together. The fellows let me talk. And basically we told how that a fellow that had been there before recommended him. When his Marines left 29 Palms, they often went up here to this base up in Southern California, just a little bit further above that. And he was worthy. He had just been given the Church Planner of the Year Award just before we stood up, and we gave the largest amount we've ever given to anybody to him as we announced the $500 a month from WMBM and an $8,000 check. Now, this happens, you need to understand, when everybody's already all the way broke, and that's what we were until Wednesday night when that extra came in, and God worked all of that out. And I will just tell you what God did through us absolutely left the battery chargers plugged in for next year, based on what God did through us, and all the men, again, supported that unanimously. What did we see? We saw the fulfilling of what it happens when God's people give, when they listen. That pastor, Justin Burkholder, wrote a thing, and teenagers, you want to hear the end of the story? When we told him that, we wrote him the email, you know what he wrote back? He said, "Isn't that funny? God's got a sense of humor." Guess one of the very first missionaries we took on from our church when we started, and I began to teach these Marines how to give. Josh Poss is supported by their church. You see the continuity of God? It all comes when people listen, plug in, whether they're praying, giving, going, or telling. Amen. God bless you folks.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you, Brother Coons. And thank you, men, so much for speaking. I'm so proud to be your pastor and your friend, and all your testimonies were powerful. So what do we do as a church when we hear a report like that? We kind of do, and I hope I don't embarrass her, we kind of do what Maddie Hansen did tonight when she came up to me and said, "Preacher, I just want you to know that I'm not going back to college this semester, so I'll be here for the next 9 months. What can I do?" So we already talked to her. I already talked to Brielle. We're going to get her plugged in some children's ministries, and that's what we need. This Sunday night crowd especially, do something. Do something. We need to do something. We have a staff meeting tomorrow. In that staff meeting, I'm going to instruct the staff about some plans I have for the deacons and elders soon. But we need to do. You know, we got to do. We got to do our part, you know. We got to do our part. No pianists tonight with their heads bowed and eyes closed. First of all, are you sure you're saved?